Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast on the Everything Unscripted Network. We're doing WWE No Mercy 2017. I'm your humble and gracious host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my buddies, Eric.
What's up? Welcome back.
Thank you. Clint is here.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. And my brother Doug's here.
Yo.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Good.
All right. We got No Mercy 2017. The big match was Cena and the Tribal Chief. He wasn't the Tribal Chief at the time, but we got Roman and Cena. We got Brock and Braun Strowman. This is a pretty big card, so it'll be fun to get into it. But before we do that, we got Doug with the plug.
Okay, you make sure you listen to Boxman and Smirk, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time, right after wrestling's over. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight, No Mercy 2017. Next week, we will be counting down the top 10 greatest superstars to never win the WWF/WWE title. Now, here's what's going to be different about next week. None of us are coming up with a list. This is going to be strictly the fan vote that I did a couple months ago. So, we're going to read it off, and I'm going to read it off, and then we're going to kind of debate it. I'm going to put up a final poll in a group probably either later tonight or sometime tomorrow. So we get more definitive as to who it is, but the top 10 pretty much is figured out. But yeah, so we're going to be debating that next week. I figure we'll just do it this way because next week Kenny will be joining us. And usually when Kenny joins us for a top 10 list, we barely finish on time. In 2 weeks, Daniel's going to be picking what show we do. In 3 weeks, on July 30th, Daniel, Kenny, and I will be with you, bringing you a special tribute episode to the Patriot Del Wilkes, who passed away last week. We're going to have some special guests on for that episode, so that's going to be fun. Tomorrow, probably around 4 p.m. Eastern time, join us for Unscripted Unlimited. Daniel and I, we're going to be talking all our usual nerd stuff, and we're also going to be recapping Big Brother.
Yes, sir.
Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Scaredy Cats. Daniel and Mindy, what are you guys doing this week?
Jeepers Creepers 2.
All right. Sounds good. And also, September 18th, I've mentioned this a couple weeks ago, September 18th in Merchantville, New Jersey, Daniel, myself, our sister Mindy, who we're pretty sure, and Eric, provided the women in his life let him, will be at the Merchantville Toy Fair in Merchantville, New Jersey, and we will be vending. So we're going to be selling some toys.
Gonna be fun.
It's definitely gonna be fun. That's pretty much it for the plugs.
Cool. All right, boys, let's get into it. Did you have any news you want to get into?
There's a couple bits of news.
All right.
First bit of news, of course, I'm sure everybody heard it. I know everybody in our group chat heard it because Eric posted it. Bailey tore her ACL earlier today while training.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So obviously she's going to be out of the match at Money in the Bank. She's going to be expect to miss about 9 months.
Ouch.
So they are going to name a replacement for the I Quit match. Well, I guess it's still going to be an I Quit match. I mean, the only person I can really think of is it's got to be Sasha.
No.
Yeah.
Sasha, you kidding me? I wouldn't bring Sasha up there. I'll just, like, find a replacement and don't have an I Quit match, period. Cancel the I Quit match. We don't need it.
And then just have like a regular match. Like, who would you have her work with? Like, Natty or Tamina?
Yeah.
I would think Sasha for SummerSlam.
Sasha was supposed to just not do back until next Friday night anyway.
But yeah, so all right, so there's that, and then also, I'm sure everybody's. Well, we didn't see because we don't watch live wrestling anymore. But Aleister Black debuted in AEW on Wednesday night as Malakai Black. I think a lot of people, I think, were surprised to see him end up somewhere so quickly.
So you know the reason why he did that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, were you asking me why, or do you know why? You were just making sure I knew.
I knew why.
Why?
I knew why? Yeah.
Okay. So. Go ahead, Glennis.
What I understand is that he was still, when he got moved up to the main roster, they never contract. So his NXT contract would have had the 30 days no complete calls was still voided in. I mean, he had to wait the full 90 days to compete.
Yeah, so they forgot to switch his contract over. I'm sure somebody's going to get in trouble for that. I mean, I'm sure somebody in talent relations is going to get fired.
Isn't that on Triple H, though, or Vince?
That's not Triple H. That's a Big Johnny problem. The person who does the contracts.
Yeah, it would be John. It wouldn't be the guy that made. It would not be Nick Khan, the president of the company, because he made the call to fire Aleister Black, but he's not the one. His job is to basically go in, look at a contract. At the contractual amount that somebody is supposed to be paid. If it's a big number and they're trying to cut budgets, it is his job to trim the fat of the contract. It's not his job to pay attention to the clauses or anything like that. That's a Laurinaitis move. That's a Laurinaitis job.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked up. I mean, they're not going to fire him.
No. They'll fire his attorney.
Yeah, so, I found that to be kind of funny, the fact that they just fucking forgot to look at the guy's contract.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
And also, last piece of business, Jimmy Uso, who of course was arrested Monday night for drunk driving, is backstage at SmackDown.
Yep.
They're going to make this a story, aren't they?
Maybe. I have no idea. I don't think you can drive it around.
You can. I don't think you can make that into a story. But not only that, I figured they're prolonging what the end result should be, and them finally coming together.
Yeah, you got to wait at least a year to make another DUI joke. Because didn't they do that to Jeff?
They did that to everybody.
And they had him run over, what's his name, right?
Elias, yeah.
Yeah. Is that going to do it?
Yeah.
All right, boys. No Mercy 2017. This is a Raw brand pay-per-view back before they started combining them again. September 24th, 2017. Staples Center, L.A. Attendance, 16,106 people. And pretty big card. Obviously, the main draw is probably either Roman and Cena or Brock and Strowman. But heading into this show, Clint, what were your expectations watching it back?
Well, watching it back, My expectation was the Cena Roman. I believe that should have been the main card, main event of the night. Technically, in my book, it was the main event of the night. Having Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman close out the show was like a bad move, because here's one thing I don't like about Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar either has to be the first one or he has to be the last. He's never the middle card. And I think that's I think we saw that after WrestleMania 35 when he lost the title of Seth, he came flying out once. Yeah, it was 35. One of the women main events, the opener show, and he came out saying he didn't want to wait to the middle of the card to come out, and he decided to put the title right then and there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That Brock and Strowman was not like a go-home, semi-home type of happy match.
Yeah, I know what kind of thing. It felt like a middle of the card match.
I agree with you. I think it did have the spectacle to it, which you need in a main event. I think Lesnar and Strowman are a good main event. Like, I think they can main event a card. Maybe not.
They could main event that card. That could, yeah. No Mercy was all around John Cena versus Roman Reigns. From the epic promo battle, from Roman Reigns for getting his promo, to Cena claiming he had to come back because Roman Reigns cannot do his job as the top dog at the WWE.
Yeah,
it was all there. It's a main event right there. I don't care about Braun Strowman because we all know Brock Lesnar is not losing that title. He's just an extra body on the card.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get into it. On the pre-show, we had Elias versus Apollo Crews. I didn't watch it.
I don't even remember watching it when it happened.
But on the main card, what's up?
No, I don't remember watching that either. I don't even remember watching the card, this pay-per-view, but I watched it.
Right. So this starts off with The Miz, with The Miztourage, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, two second-generation superstars. He goes against the son of Kurt Angle, the storyline son of Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan. What were your thoughts on this one, Doug?
I didn't like it. I thought it was – I mean, I thought Miz did a really good job playing as the heel. The problem is that, like, they were in L.A., which is where Miz lived at the time.
Yeah.
So Miz was kind of the hometown hero. And Jason Jordan could not get over. Like, the whole Kurt Angle's son storyline was just kind of dumb. It's another one of those situations, like, with Jason Jordan, they should not have broken up American Alpha.
Yeah.
Jordan and Gable. Just like, you know, we're going to talk about later on with Endo and Cass and how they shouldn't have broken them up.
Yeah.
Oh, I have something to say about that. I'll say it.
But, no, this match, like, it wasn't really that great of a match to me. I mean, I thought Miz did a pretty good job, you know, with the Miztourage and all that and stealing the win and all that shit. But to me, this was just so-so.
Right. What did you think, Dennis?
I thought it was an okay match. It was a good, solid opener to me. Because looking back at it, because I didn't bother going back and watching like the storyline build up and all. Jason Jordan just won the Battle Royal, getting a number one contender, finding out he's Kurt Angle's son. Now they're trying to build him up as a guy trying to live in Kurt Angle's footsteps, not to earn any respect, but thinking that everybody is giving him because he's now Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah.
We all know
yeah.
he's a rookie. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Jason looked too green here. I thought he actually did some good work with The Miz. I thought they actually held each other up pretty well. And I thought it was a decent opener. I wasn't mad at it.
I do think Jason's promo after was god awful about saying that the Miz really does suck. The fans say that Kurt sucks, but out of love, but Miz, you really do suck. It's like, that was just stupid. He had no momentum behind him, really. And the angle was pretty dumb with Kurt being his dad. I mean, it got derailed due to injury, too, but I thought Jason actually had some potential here, and it sucks that we didn't really get to see any more of him because of injuries and stuff, but I actually liked what I saw from him. What do you think, Eric?
I thought it felt like a Raw match. I mean, it just didn't have it. I didn't get into it. I mean, I think maybe they should have gave Jordan the win, but maybe to see if he would get over then. But it was an okay opener. I mean, it just felt like a Raw match.
Okay. How many stars would you give it, Doug?
I give it a 5.
All right. Eric?
I'm with Doug. I'll give it a 5.
Gladys?
What are we doing this, like, the best out of 5 or, like, out of 10?
Out of 10.
Out of 10.
Okay, yeah. Good. Then I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6, too. I thought it was a decent opener. It wasn't nothing to shake a stick at, but I didn't think it was bad.
I like
seeing some of Jason Jordan. He kind of reminded me of a young Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah. I wish they just gave him, I mean, it's unfortunate with the injuries. I wonder what they would have done with him if he didn't get injuries.
I think they were going to try to build something.
With him and Seth, right?
Him and Seth, and then I think him and Kurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would have probably been Kurt's retirement.
Yeah.
To try to build him up. But yeah, for what it was.
He got released, right?
No, he's still
there. He's a producer.
Oh, okay.
He got some kind of promotion or something. I just can't remember like what it is.
Oh.
Good for him.
Good for him. Wow.
And poor Shorty G is still.
Well, he's coaching Otis now.
Sure. poor Chad Gable. It really sucked. I mean, it's kind of going off topic here, but he was really talented. Both of them were.
Yeah.
But...
Well, that's what happens when you split up a team, and then like you know you think you're going to get something out of both guys, but they're better off when they're together.
But it's not the guy's fault. They did nothing with him. This Kurt thing was fucking, I mean, they tried to push Jason, but what did they do with fucking, what's his name?
They put him in a team with Shelton Benjamin. That wasn't working.
Because it was basically the same thing as what he was already doing.
Yeah.
They just kept, like, putting him with different teams and tag teams.
Well, the Bobby Roode thing kind of worked.
But not really. The only thing that actually almost worked was his little run for the King of the Ring against, what's his name?
Against Corbin, yeah.
Yeah, but then the Shorty G shit came out of it, and that's just stupid.
Yeah, and now, I mean, he's the trainer of Alpha Academy, you know, with Otis and all that, and that made Otis uninteresting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
He's recycling him with tag team.
Yeah. Well, because that's all he can really... He can't do a singles run by himself.
Why not? They haven't tried.
That's what they think. Now, if they would give him... Like, the personality he has as the coach...
Yeah.
If they would let him just have that personality in the ring and all that... I think the issue is how short he is.
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan's one of your top stars. AJ
exactly.
Styles...
I was going to bring that up.
Now, I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to tell you that you know, this is what... Well, first of all, you know, Vince McMahon has no idea what the hell he's doing. Okay?
Fact.
So now he knows he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, so he's hiring these other people to fuck up for him.
Fuck.
I mean, take this moron that that cut everybody. He has no idea what the fuck he's doing. Vince has basically told him, save me some money, pal. So he starts cutting contracts. He's a fucking moron.
Yeah.
I'd rather work for Shaka Khan than for Nick Khan. Shaka Khan would probably do a better job.
Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
All right. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. Before we get into the match, I want to ask you a question, Eric. What went wrong with Finn Balor's main roster run, and why is he back in NXT?
I just think they didn't think he was main event material, I mean, which I disagree with. I mean, he's over with the fans, obviously. I just don't think they think he was main event material, unfortunately.
See, I disagree with that. I think what went wrong was that he got injured at SummerSlam when he won the Universal title. That injury, when he got injured and won it, had to forfeit the Universal title, a brand new title you just created, and you had to forfeit it right that after just winning it. It says something. And I'm not saying Finn Balor is good, but for some odd reason, if you look at all NXT stars now, they don't really want to come to the main roster. I mean, if you look at Tommaso Ciampa, Tommaso says they even try to promote him up to the main roster. He said he'll quit right there on the spot. He want nothing to do. That's how bad Raw and SmackDown is. It's just like the big leagues, but it's not. Because they trash almost every NXT people that come on board.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was some spots where Baylor actually, like, out of all the little guys that Brock Lesnar fought, like the Daniel Bryan match, everyone praised the AJ Styles match, which I like. I thought the best match he had was with Finn.
That right, which is Rumble. What he had been wanting. Brock Lesnar had actually said, whoever's masturbating, knock it off.
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
That fucking noise. So anyway, Brock Lesnar, because he was supposed to work with Strowman at that Royal Rumble, Braun's arm wasn't healed up.
Yeah.
But he felt like they could still do it anyway. Well, Vince decided, he's like, well, pal, if you're not healed, then it's going to be a shitty match, which, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't give a fuck anyway. Most of his matches were shitty. So, you know, you're out, pal. So when they asked Brock, they said, well, who do you want to work with at the Royal Rumble? He goes, the best one that would give me a match is going to be Balor. Brock had apparently been asking to work with Balor since 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, he feels like every once in a while, Brock wants to put in work. So
every once in a blue moon.
Yeah. So when he feels like having a good match, he'll be like, hey, can I work with this guy? And they'll be like, well, why do you want to work with him? Well, he's a smaller guy. He goes, because he'll make me look good. He'll sell for me. He'll bump for me. I'll take his shot. Like, I'll beat the fuck out of him for 10 minutes, and then I'll take a few minutes.
Keep going.
I'll take a few of his shots, and you know that's that. But no, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the best match he had was with Balor.
Yeah, I really enjoyed at the Rumble. Now Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. What'd you think of this one, Quinn?
I enjoyed it. I kind of, in a way, I liked it better than the SummerSlam one he had. Because I think this is probably like the last that we saw of the Demon anyway. So proving that he doesn't need to become the Demon to win a match says something. And I think.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. What'd you think, Eric?
I thought it was a solid match. I mean, it went about, 10 minutes? Did it go 10 minutes?
10 or 11.
Yeah, 11 minutes. I thought it was a solid match. I thought they both did a good job. They fought at Mania, right? No.
SummerSlam and then here.
SummerSlam. I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They did the thing where Bray Wyatt attacked him beforehand. And first of all, we should have watched this whole fucking pay-per-view on mute. Instead of having him listen to cocksucker, buttfucker, and rim jobber all night. The worst goddamn announced team in the history of wrestling is those.
No, I enjoy Booker T. I don't think you can have Booker T and Michael Cole together. I don't think you can't have Booker T and Michael Cole together. They don't fit well together.
I'd rather have a case of crotch rot than have to listen to Booker T talk.
And Corey Graves is annoying.
Oh, I hate Booker T. I love Booker's work, but his commentary is awful.
Here's the thing. As a wrestler, Booker is fine.
Amazing.
All right.
Yeah.
As a commentator, I would rather be Donald Trump's personal butt waxer than have to listen to Booker T commentate a pay-per-view.
Okay. Finn Balor. The only thing about, and I know this is a wrestling thing, but it's like the art of sneaking up on someone and beating them up, and then it's like they're too hurt to start the match, but then they do the match and the moves are a lot more aggressive, but they're fine.
Yeah.
That's the only thing about wrestling I never understood. Like, he
oversold it.
Yeah, because it happens a lot. Like, he'll get attacked real quick, and you just see a guy, punch him in the back and, kick him a little bit. And then he's like, oh, I can't do this. But then it's like you go to the match, and he's doing fun of hurricane around and power bombed and getting right up, and he's fine. I just find it funny. But I did like this match. I thought the storyline that they were building to here could have been interesting. Obviously, we never really got a payoff from it. Well, we kind of did when he came back as the Fiend, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, Mono screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the whole Rotunda family decided they needed to get Mono. and that ended up fucking up the Shield reunion because Bo Dallas was fucking part of the Miztourage. And the Miztourage working with Roman, so Roman catches fucking Mono from Bo. See, this is why you should never go to a family dinner. Bo Dallas should have stayed home that night. When they told him, they said, "Oh yeah, we're having meatloaf for dinner." Now stay home. I'm gonna order Burger King.
I don't know. I enjoyed seeing Kurt Angle in that Shield vest.
No, it was funny. I'm just saying, they had this whole big plan for the Shield reunion and all that shit. And then, Kurt benefited just fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. Again, only bad part about that match was listening to Booker T talk and said, Kurt Angle does not belong in here. Shut up.
That's the one where they literally tried to kill Braun, right?
Yeah, when they threw him in a garbage truck and then they compacted it. that made no fucking sense. This match, Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, I enjoyed the match because I think the two of them actually worked well together. So.
Yeah, I think you did too. You guys want to give it ratings? What do you want to do?
I'm going
to
give it a 7.
I'll give it a 8.
Huh?
7, 7.5. Eric gave it, and Clintus gave it a 6.
I said 8. Okay. 8.
Did you say 8?
Yes, I 8.
My bad.
Well, that's what happens when you both talk at once.
They don't know. So an 8, a 7.5, and a 7. I think I'll give it a 7.5. I'm going to agree with Eric. I thought it was good, slightly above average, but it's not like this could have been the main event. Like, I was fine where it was placed on the card.
Yeah.
On the card.
It probably even would have been a really good opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like a WrestleMania opener.
For what it was, I thought it was extremely decent.
Yeah.
Moving on to Dean and Seth versus The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus. What are your thoughts on this one, Doug?
Well, I think that this was a really good tag match, you know, with Rollins and Ambrose versus the Boobs. And I, you talk about guys that work well together. I thought these four worked tremendously well together.
Yeah.
And I do kind of like, sometimes it irritates me, like when tag teams, like the whole, and it's supposed to irritate the fans where like the heels isolate the baby faces from the corners and all that shit. But like when they would pull their shit to where it's just like, sometimes Cesaro would fake like starting a match and then kind of do like a baseball slide, and then Sheamus would knock the guy from behind. It would really be Sheamus starting the match.
Yeah.
And like that would irritate me, but it's like Sheamus and Cesaro were a very good heel team. And
yeah, they were.
This match, I thought this match was fantastic. And Cesaro taking the shot where he knocked out his teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was nuts. And that idiot Booker T, you know, when they were saying when the referee was trying to check on Ambrose, and Cesaro and Sheamus, you know, kept attacking him, and Booker's morons just like, Cesaro's trying to do his job, and Cole's like, no, he's not, Book, because the referee, if he was doing his job, then he'd listen to the referee when the referee says back up so I could check the guy. And it's just, like, I was actually hoping Michael Cole would just hit him. I mean, if he hit Booker and Booker hit him back, it would kill Michael Cole, but, you know, two birds, one stone. You know, Michael Cole would be off WWE television, and Booker T would be back in jail where he belongs.
Jesus Christ. I would say that.
I hate that.
Wow, man, that's the disrespect.
Yeah, that's disrespectful. I like Booker. Not on commentary, but I don't know if I'd wish prison on him.
Well, he definitely finds something better looking than Charmel in there.
Jesus.
What are you talking about? I like Charmel.
She's the worst part about him.
King Booker.
Are you really going to go back to the King Booker stages, really? That's all you're going to bring out? Out of all the things you're going to bring in the King Booker stages? We all know that sucks.
That's my favorite Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I like that too.
I love King Booker.
That's when I got back into WWE.
They were so annoying, and they were so good at getting heat.
Yeah. The only weird part was when he went to TNA, wasn't the king anymore, but kept doing the accent.
Yeah.
I liked him in TNA, actually.
Yeah, I thought he sucked. But, piece of their own. I thought Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins did the best they could here. I mean, they were both on single runs, and they were trying to bring them kind of back together for the Shield thing. I mean, obviously, Jon Moxley's came a long way since this.
Yeah.
But and maybe so. Well, maybe not. But for what it was, I'm giving this an 8.5. I thought it was a great tag match in an era where those are hard to find. Really good match.
Yeah, definitely a really good match. Whoever's making it, stop it before I find you and put my foot in your ass.
Would you calm down, bud? Booker's getting you all salty. What did you think about this one, Eric?
This was my favorite match in the card. I thought this was a solid tag team match. I thought the wrong team won. I thought the Bar should have won, but that's not here or there. But I like this match. It was a good, solid 10 to 15 minute match.
Yeah.
But I give it an 8.5 too.
Yeah, I would give it an 8.
Oh, man. If I would look at that match, I would give it definitely a 6.
He's 6 in it. Wasn't as much of a fan of this one, Quiddick?
I wasn't, like, a big fan of it. I enjoyed it. It had a good high point, but I don't know. I just wasn't doing it.
Okay.
I mean, it was a good match, but I wasn't like a – I had to stay and watch. Because to me, the whole pay-per-view is a Raw brand pay-per-view. So that's why. I just can't. I just wasn't feeling it. The first two had me. That one just kind of like bummed me down a little bit.
Okay. All right. Did we all give it stars or something?
What'd you give it?
I give it an 8.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss, my honey, one of the greatest women wrestlers of all time.
What kind of nutcase are you?
I'll make the argument right here, Kevin. I think Alexa Bliss is top 10 greatest female wrestlers of all time.
Oh, God.
She has been consistently great since the new generation started.
94?
Yeah. Was she born in 94?
I think top 20, but not top 10. Maybe top 10.
She has arguably had more success than Bayley and Sasha put together. That's a hot take.
Yo, you know what? That's disrespectful. She just said right there. That ain't true.
How is it not? All right, so when Bayley and Sasha were being dicked around, as you know, they're best friends, but they need to beat. But you know, they're planting the seeds and all that of them turning on each other, and then they finally. Bayley finally turns on Sasha, but then they decide, oh no, it's not going to happen.
They're going to therapy.
that stupid bald-headed bastard Kurt Angle sends them. It's like, oh no, you guys need to go to therapy. It's like, no wonder Baron Corbin you fucking suck.
Thanks to Dr. Shelby. Thanks for Dr. Shelby, because Sasha became 2 belt banks and Bayley became 2 belts Bayley.
Everybody wanted to see them beat the hell out of each other because they know how good the chemistry is between the two of them as a match. All right, nobody wanted to see them fucking go and see the same guy that turned Daniel Bryan and Kane into butt buddies. And while all this was happening, Alexa Bliss was taking over the women's division. Yeah, Alexa Bliss was the main part of the women's division until Rousey got there. I mean, and Alexa was still like a main focal point of the women's division. Yeah. And Ronda didn't want to deal with her anymore, so Ronda hurt her on purpose. But, I mean, she worked Ronda at SummerSlam. That's huge.
Right.
She had one of the biggest WrestleMania angles with Nia Jax.
Well, big isn't Nia's huge. But,
but no, Alexa. Here's the thing, and here's how you can make the only horsewoman that Alexa is not bigger than.
It's Charlotte.
She beat Becky. She took Becky's title and her push. She became bigger than Becky 2 years before the man shit. Yes, yeah. She did. The whole thing of this brand split was for the four horsewomen to succeed.
You
want to
know why? You know, because you want to know why? Because Alexa always needed someone to have her back. Okay?
Well, I mean, it's not real.
You had Mickie James. You had Raw. we had Nia Jax until Nia Jax decided to go, oh, I'm going to body slam you and make this into a fatal four-way. Oh, wait, here comes Bayley. Bayley's back from injury. Let's throw her into the match. It's a fatal five-way now.
We pissed Plymouth off.
And here's the thing. I kind of agree. Like, this whole fatal five-way thing, I thought was, and I told you last time, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it.
It was a good match.
It was a
clusterfuck. The match. The problem is that, like, throwing all the women into one match, it kind of does show that they really don't care about the women's evolution.
The match proves. Okay. All right. So explain to me this. What did Emma ever do to deserve a title match in this match? What did she do?
I mean, at the time, she was arguably the best in-ring worker out of all of them. Like, she could go.
Emma
was the best in-ring worker. The problem is that they couldn't get her to cooperate. Like, they had this whole thing with that whole Emelina deal where they were going to turn her into a modern-day Sable, but she kept fucking up rehearsals.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay, well, you're fucking up rehearsals. At least Sable did good at rehearsals, but she would fuck up during the live crowd. And if you look at it, you know, Sable's more doable than Emma. So, of course, you know, they're going to make it work with Sable, but Emma's just like, she may have been a really good worker, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but also, you know, they could not get her to cooperate. They could not get her to listen.
No.
And this match.
Where is Emma now?
Tennille Dashwood.
He's an Impact. But, like, the issue here is, like, with this match, and I like the match. I'm not going to shit on it. It's just having all five of them in there. Like, first of all, Alexa should not have come in as the champion. Sasha, they should have never taken the belt off Sasha as soon as they gave it to her. They should have had her. She didn't even have to beat Alexa on that Raw. They could have done a DQ finish.
So, that's another reason problem. One of my things too. Sasha, yeah, everybody talking about Alexa. So Sasha on Raw was known as a one-hit wonder. She couldn't keep a title until she got transferred to SmackDown. She couldn't keep a title around her waist.
Yeah, that's why Alexa is a better overall
superstar. Right.
But Sasha was doing it by herself. Every time you had Alexa, she had someone in her corner. Come on.
Still Victoria.
If I had someone in my corner, too.
You want to talk about... All right. Sasha doing it on her own. Sasha's last women's title reign. She beat Asuka by countout because Bayley beat the hell out of Kairi Sane. And Asuka happened to be a good friend, so Asuka went to the back. And the reason why they had that match in the first place with the where the title can change hands on a DQ and a countout is because Sasha and Bayley stole the damn thing from Asuka. And then let's look at Sasha's other title reign. All right. She beat Charlotte in the Falls Count Anywhere. You know, it was a good match and all that. When she beat Charlotte the second time, I think somebody interfered. I actually think Bayley helped her.
I think Bayley did help her. But then she lost it right again in that Iron Man match. I'm saying that she didn't have a good, successful title run until they finally, both Bayley and Sasha, went to SmackDown. That's when Sasha became really relevant and held that SmackDown title.
I agree. You're right. And you just made my point.
The Raw writers had nothing to do with Sasha but make her look like a joke when it really was. Because to me, I think she could have won. She should have won Hell in a Cell.
I agree.
She should have won.
I'm just going to pose a question from there. While they were making her look like a joke, who was running the division as the champion?
Alexa.
There you go. All right. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley versus Emma versus Jax versus Banks. What did we think about this one, Eric?
Sorry. I thought it was okay. I mean, I don't like matches with more than three people in the match. I mean, fatal four ways, okay. Fatal five is stretching it.
So well, then you never survive an orgy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Alexa won, and she should have won, so it made her even bigger.
What were your thoughts on this one, Clement?
That was all right. I mean, the match had its high points, but, again, it ended in, like, a really low point. You have Alexa rolling up someone after cheat shotting, rolling up for a quick win and getting out of there.
It wasn't a roll up. It was a DDT.
a DDT, whatever. What? To me, it's still say, nah. Wrong person won the match.
You're not an Alexa Bliss fan, are you, Clint?
No, I'm not really Alexa Bliss fan. I don't understand how you'd be a Alexa Bliss fan now. She's nothing but a rip off of the Fiend.
She has been consistently. She tried a new character. I thought it was interesting for a long time. I think it is time to retire that character. I think she's consistently been one of the better women. I think she's always had a title. See, even the run with Nikki Cross was interesting.
And here's the thing. She's been going with a heavy heart the last couple of months. Her pet piggy passed away.
Yeah. And that resonates with me a lot. I love bacon.
Oh, my God. You take a Larry Steve every time you eat bacon.
The night after he passed.
That's fucked up. I don't think they would. I'm a really big Alexa Bliss fan, so can we edit this part out just in case she hears it? Nah, she won't hear it.
No, I hope she does. I know her no more fan like to eat bacon. Probably saying, yo, Larry Steve, thank you for the meal today. Thank you.
All right. How many stars are we giving this
pick? I'm pretty sure Clint and I are both going to hell.
All right. I would give this a 6. I thought it was decent action. Didn't go that long. All five women have better matches in them. But for what this was, it was okay.
Yeah, everybody was okay, so I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6, too.
And you said 5, Quinn?
Every woman would showcase in some way.
Yeah. Yes, I'll give it a 5.
All righty. Let's move on to, I mean, what Clint said should be the main event of this thing. Two Titans, John Cena, the leader of the Ruthless Aggression Era, the man, the myth, the legend, one of the greatest superstars of all time, versus the Tribal Chief, a man who's recently now very much coming into his own, one of the better parts of SmackDown. These two went at it when Roman was kind of becoming the big dog. What are your thoughts, Clint?
Yep.
My thoughts, it was like, I look at it as the passing of the torch type of match. Like, we all know Cena's going off to Hollywood and whatnot. It's just like it was almost like a Cena Rock type of thing. Cena beat Rock goes to Hollywood. Cena takes over as the next face of the clear face of the division. He's just passing over. It's like passing down a torch. That's exactly what this match is all about. But one thing I do like about Cena is that he knows how to get the best out of people, and he will point you out and make you feel.
I think that's
one thing. He took that way too far, I think, in those promos what he had against Roman Reigns. Making him feel like he had to come back. It's not like he can't come back. But and then everything in what Cena said, it was true. Roman can't get over with the fans. It felt like Cena was there, got transferred from SmackDown to Raw because Roman couldn't hold his own. Losing to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Losing to Brock Lesnar again. Getting beat by the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Roman now, I think, is what we all thought he was going to be. He needed to be a heel. What he's doing now, I think he's one of the, the best guys there. At the time, he was struggling, though. I thought this match was good. The only thing, I don't really like how they wrestled it, though, because it felt like, I don't know, the pacing of the match felt weird. John Cena kind of getting put into an underdog role felt a little weird. And Roman kind of, like, easily beating the hell out of him for 10 minutes. But for what it was, I did enjoy the match. It didn't, to me, maybe it would have had a little more spectacle if it was in the main event, but I thought this was a way bigger match than how, like, it was presented, you know?
Right.
I mean, this easily could have been a WrestleMania match. So, but for what it was, I'll give it a 7.
I thought it was decent. I mean, I'm going to give it a 7 right away. But, like, I thought it was decent. I do think, however, like, and this is one of the things I really don't like. How many spears did Roman give Cena in this match?
I think 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think about 4. I know he speared up to a table.
I mean, it just kind of seems like, okay. I mean, I get it, like, especially when these two guys don't have a lot of moves to begin with. Like, it's always got to be, like, finish. But, like, you know, 3 or 4 finishers is kind of like an overkill.
Yeah. Oh, let's look at you wonder how did Roman Reigns kick out of two straight attitude adjustments.
Including
and a super AA.
Yeah.
And then a super AA. How you kick out of a super AA?
Super AA. But yeah, I mean, it was good. I really like that ending. The way.
The Superman punch and then right into the spear.
Yeah, it was very quick. It was very sudden. Yeah. You didn't really see it coming. I liked that ending. How many stars would you give this, Eric?
I give it a 7. I thought it was just the build up felt like a WrestleMania match, and it should have been the main event. I don't think it should have been on No Mercy. I think it should have been on SummerSlam, or at least SummerSlam. It felt like a bigger match than it should than a No Mercy pay per view. And Clint is right; it should have been main event.
Well,
and I did like the ending. Go ahead, Doug.
I apologize. But, like, I think also, too, is that the reason why they kind of tried to stack up these fall month pay-per-views is because, remember, NFL was back. And, like, you had, like, the NFL back, so, like, they're competing with Sunday Night Football, so they want to stack the deck to where everybody's going to want to watch the pay-per-view instead of Sunday Night Football. Now, it was easy for WWE to kind of edge out the NFL a little bit because everybody was boycotting the NFL because of, the political problems.
Yeah.
Okay, not going to get into them. That's why I'm not saying what they are, but, like, the political problems that were going on in the NFL at the time. But WWE kind of capitalizing on that, which I'm surprised they capitalized on it since Vince and President Pig Shit were friends. Like, they knew this, okay, if we stack the deck here, everybody's going to watch us because nobody likes football right now.
Yeah.
I just thought the first match between the two should have been on a bigger event.
Oh, you're not wrong. I'm just saying it's the reason why they did that.
I didn't mind it, though, it's the reason I picked this show. I mean, and it brought prestige to, because a lot of the problems with these pay-per-views during the second brand split was that, like, it didn't feel like there was enough, you know, like the Raw and SmackDown, like the pay-per-views, like it didn't feel like they didn't feel special. They felt like another episode of Raw or another episode of SmackDown sometimes. This pay-per-view felt special to me, and one of the reasons it did was because of this match.
Right. I mean, and you got to also remember, too, I mean, the SmackDown side of things really wasn't that much better because Jinder Mahal was the champion.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, that's right.
How SmackDown put on, I think overall, I think SmackDown put on a better show. Period.
Oh, it did. SmackDown was a better show the whole time.
Oh yeah, and a lot of it has to do though with the undercard.
Yeah, I mean AJ was running
the
show.
Think,
yeah,
and AJ, a lot of the time, though,
when he wasn't WWE champion, AJ was the undercard.
Yeah. He was WWE champion for a lot of it, though.
Right.
But, yeah.
And then you also got the extra hour of Raw, too. Like, who really want to sit three? Who
yeah,
would really sit to watch 3 hours of a Raw?
Yeah.
3 hours is way too much for just a weekly show. It's just too much. And it will always be.
I watched Raw for the first time 2 weeks ago, 3 hours. I didn't know how I did that.
Did you enjoy it?
It was something to watch at. There was nothing else on, so I just flipped it on.
Right.
It's one of those boring
ones. Eric couldn't get his computer to work, so he couldn't watch porn.
Did we all rate this?
I
just ignored it.
I think we did it. It's solid, man. So I'll give it a seven.
I gave it a 7.2. Doug,
7.
Quit it.
I'll 7.
All right. 7's all around the board for Cena and Roman. Good effort, boys. Enzo and Neville.
Oh, my God.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go first. Hit it. What do you got?
Doug, I think, knows this. I've never liked Enzo and Cass. So the whole thing that where he comes out and does that annoys me. But I didn't think he should have won the match.
Well, Eric, you should be used to annoying people.
Huh?
You work with a lot of
them. Wow.
Okay, I it was a cheap win for Enzo to put a meaningless title on him, but still, you don't do that to Neville, who's probably the best cruiserweight. In a long time. That's why it was a cheap win, and it was an okay match. I don't think he should have won. I didn't like it when he won.
So
the disrespect.
I hate Enzo. I'll just say it right now.
Oh.
All right. So this was still around the time where they were actually still trying to do stuff with 205 Live.
Yeah, right.
And because, you know, they were still part of Raw and all that. I mean, now, obviously, 205 Live is pretty much a dead brand thanks to Nimrod Nick. But, like, back then, they were still trying to do that. And they didn't know what to do with Enzo because, like, on Raw, he wasn't going to do anything, like, you know, with the heavyweights on Raw. First of all, I don't think they should have split him and Enzo up. And when they split him and Enzo up, I mean, they probably figured they had, you know, money and I don't know why they thought they had money in big cash. All right, just because he was fucking Carmella at the time. And then, you know, she dumped his ass. She dumped his ass after he tore his ACL, and then that's when WWE realized, oh, Carmella really doesn't like him anymore. Why should we? Maybe she should dump Corey Graves, and then they'll figure it out. But the whole thing
is
Enzo could talk. Enzo was a really good promo.
Yes.
And somehow they sold merch.
A lot of
that was the deal. If you could sell merchandise, if you could talk people into an arena, then they are going to love you. Okay? You don't have to be a really good. And Enzo's work with the shit.
Yeah, he sucked.
And the whole thing with Neville, I mean, this fucking thing pretty much made Neville quit.
It did make Neville quit.
He called Cody Rhodes and be like, can you start a new company, please?
Neville said on his Instagram before, the reason he left is because they took the King's crown and gave it to a wannabe rapper, which is true. Enzo Amore, as good of a talker as he is, he sucked in the ring. He had no business being in the cruiserweight division just because he's small, and I understand that, but the cruiserweight division is high-level athletes. He is not one.
Exactly.
So, but he made me watch the cruiserweight division. I mean, I hated it, and then you had Enzo there. I love Enzo Amore.
I mean, he's very entertaining.
And that's what made me watch 205 Live, because of Enzo Amore.
And the thing that sucks is the fact that when they got rid of him, that basically killed the cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Because they weren't on Raw anymore.
No.
And it sucked because, like, you had all these other guys that were really good athletes, and now they're not going to get that high-profile Raw stage because this jackass, you know, decided...
He ruined it. Basically, what they did was they handed him the keys to the cruiserweight division. And they said,
and he roasted the whole cruiserweight division. Yeah, I mean, he ruined it, and the problem is that, like, they could have kept going with him. The problem is that he did something stupid, or he was accused of doing something, and instead of getting the company to back him, he thought he can take care of it without telling the company. And then when they confronted him and they said, why didn't you tell us you're being accused of this? He just looked at him and said, I didn't want to. So then they go, okay, motherfucker, see you later.
He's not with any company, right? It's only Cash, right? He's not in TNA with Cash, right?
No. So, I mean, and he's supposed to be doing something in Philly on September 18th, part of Rob Feinstein's Battleground Championship Wrestling. He was supposed to wrestle Leo Rush, but then Leo Rush found out he was wrestling Enzo, so he decided to retire.
Man, talk about two guys that are famous.
Yeah, I mean, and it's sad what it did to Neville, but, I mean, it worked out. He's pretty good in All Elite Wrestling as Pac.
Well, yeah, when he doesn't make the stupid-ass mistake of going home.
Yeah. This match, the shock win for Enzo was, like, it kind of got a pop, but it wasn't good. So I'd give this a 4.
Here's the thing. If they would have done, like, a quick match where the crowd was still hot after him talking, it would have been fine. But 10 minutes of shit, 10 minutes of shit. Like, you're gonna take the crowd out of it.
Absolutely.
It was a filter match between the Cena and
main event. It was actually kind of a hot program that didn't need to be filler, but it wasn't. Like, yeah. 10 minutes is too long for Enzo. Yeah, I give it a 4. What do you give it, Doug?
I give it a 4.5.
I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to give it a 2.
Wow. That's really disrespectful. At least I'll give it a 5.
All right, there you go, Clint.
I hate that. I hate Enzo. He annoyed the fuck out of me. Not many people annoy me, and Doug knows that.
Yeah, I mean, you're friends with Doug, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Working where you work and being friends with me and not too many people annoy you, that just makes you fucking nuts.
All right. Let's move on.
That's the way I am.
Huh? Main event time. We got Brock versus Braun. The Monster Among Men versus the Beast Incarnate. A former UFC heavyweight champion versus a guy with a beautiful beard. What are your thoughts, Eric?
I mean, Paul Heyman is the one that sold this match. He's the one that basically put over Braun Strowman. I thought Braun Strowman should have won. It would have put him more over, and I think they could have done something with him. And as we know now, he's released, probably retired, and the rest is history. And it was an okay match.
But
it shouldn't have been the main event.
I didn't enjoy the match at all. Because here's the thing. They made Braun look like this, unfazable monster. And then you fucking have Brock put him in the Kimura for, half the fucking match. And, I thought it was done. I mean, I don't think Braun should have won the title. But to me, the match just sucked.
Okay. Yeah, it was an awful match. A very, very awful match.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. I thought the spectacle was enough.
I didn't hate
it. It drew me to it. It made me want to watch it. And, the two have had better encounters, but I didn't hate it. I'd probably give it a 5. I'm neutral on it.
Yeah. I felt like the match he had with Joe at that Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view was better.
It was.
Which, by the way, today would have been today's the 4-year anniversary of it, so we probably should have done that.
Next week.
Well, this week was 25th anniversary at NWO, so.
Yeah.
Well, we're fucking up on all of them.
All right, give it a rating.
I'm giving it a 3.
I'm giving it a... I'm with Daniel. I'm giving it a 5.
Cutter,
it was an okay main event.
All right, Clinic gives it 4.
All right, boys. Now that we've covered every match, let's give our final thoughts. Give a rating to the whole pay-per-view. Eric, we'll start with you.
I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. I thought some of the matches felt like a raw match, as I said. The first match, even this one, felt like a raw match. Some of them felt, but some of them were okay. The tag team match, this John Cena match, were probably the two best matches on the card. So I'll give this pay-per-view a 7.
All right. Quintus?
So it's a good, all right, pay-per-view. The opening, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt. What was, I think, what saved it from being an awful pay-per-view was the Cena wrong. Roman Reigns saved it, so I want to give it a 7-2.
Okay. So there was quite a bit about this pay-per-view that I liked. But there was a few things about this pay-per-view that I hated. But, I mean, it was a good brand split pay-per-view. It was a good Raw pay-per-view for the brand split. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
I'd have to agree. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. Well, I don't think it was great, but I thought it was really good for the brand split. I think it's one of the better pay-per-views of that little era. There was a lot of spectacle here. There was a lot of good stuff to sink your teeth into, a little bit of filler, but every pay-per-view's got it. I thought for what it was pretty good, so I'm going to give it a 7.5, too. Does anybody have anything else? Clint already left.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm still here. What's up?
Okay. All right. Eric, what were you going to say?
I was going to just say it. As I said, it felt some of the match felt like a raw match, but it didn't mean it was not a bad pay-per-view. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Real quick, I wanted to let you guys know, and I'll even post it in the group chat so Stevie knows. We're probably going to ixnay fantasy wrestling for right now because nobody's really paying attention to it. I haven't been watching. So
that's fine with me.
Yeah.
What, Clint?
That's fine with me.
That's fine with me.
Yeah. Because Daniel's been beating our asses anyway, and plus half our rosters are fucking fired. So,
since we're vacating my belt,
yeah.
I do want to say a couple words.
Okay,
it's been nice.
Oh my god,
being the fantasy wrestling champion for as long as I've held it, 16 long months, long grueling months, blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of tough fights, like that Revolution pay per view. Eric almost got me, but John Moxley got the title. There's been big, big times where I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit, Doug, but I kept going.
Are you serious?
And I defended my belt with heart, with honor, and
a whole bunch of luck.
are we gonna go back to asking the fans what pay-per-view we should do?
No. We're just that Daniel and I are just going to come up with stuff, and every once in a while when we don't feel like making the decision, we'll throw it to you guys.
I suggested a rotation. Okay.
We'll figure it out. All right, guys. This is a great episode. We'll see everybody next week.
All right. Remember, top 10 greatest superstars to ever be WWF/WWE champion next week.
All right.
Nice. Awesome.
Order.
Bye, guys. Later. Have a good weekend.
You too. Enjoy Harrisburg.
Yep, thank you.